Good morning, everyone. I'm John Hockenberry. At this point in George W. Bush's first term, the educational reform program No Child Left Behind was already passed. The buzzword for educational reform then was accountability. In the Obama administration, accountability is still a theme for improving educational performance, but Obama's Secretary of Education wants to go beyond what he calls tinkering around the edges and seems to be willing to commit $3.5 billion to what he calls radical new ideas. So on this Labor Day back-to-school weekend, we think the voice of educational reform, Obama-style, just might be my next guest. Steve Barr, he's the founder of California-based Green Dot Public Schools. Steve Barr, thanks for joining us.
Hey, how are you?
So let's talk a little bit about your tactics working in Southern California in the L.A. area. You have a charter school company that basically is working with public schools, and you're known for some very, very fast-acting, almost SWAT team kinds of tactics. Tell me about Locke High School in Southern California.
Well, Locke High School was opened after the Watts riots in the mid-60s as an answer, and was supposed to bring hope to the Watts community. What ended up happening is it became a place where other schools dumped their kids they didn't want, and teachers that wanted to go play out contracts and hide went. So in 40 years, which is right about the time we formed a partnership with the existing teachers there to take the school and enact No Child Left Behind, in those 40 years, 60,000 people went to that school, give or take 1,000, and we think 40,000 of them didn't make it out of that school. So you imagine, and out of those 20,000 that were left, maybe a little over 2,000 actually got college degrees. So if only 2,000 people out of 60,000 people are getting college degrees and not coming back to that community because there's not a lot to offer, boy, you really are talking about a community that has got no hope. Now, the problem with that is there's a lot of Locke High Schools, not only in Los Angeles, but nationally. There's thousands of them.
Well, let's talk specifically about what you did at Locke, because I think the real question for you and for Arne Duncan, the Secretary of Education, is whether your tactics are scalable to more of a national program. How do you go from a school that has such a terrible record, as you described, and actually do what some have called a hostile takeover to turn it into a series of charter schools and essentially replace the workforce?
Well, I mean, you know, when something just fails over and over again, it has repercussions beyond that community. And so I don't think there's anything controversial or hostile about it. I think it's hostile to ignore it. So what we did is actually the teachers contacted us, fed up with the lack of support from the district and their union. We had hired teachers from Locke in the past. They obviously were talking about an improvement of work conditions and how, you know, good we teach teachers and also how focused we are. And more than half the teachers signed up a petition to liberate the school. So what we did is we looked at the school. We wanted to create more of a collegiate feel to it. We're college preparatories is our kind of our vision for the world. We think high expectations for all kids works. And we broke the school down into 7 small autonomous schools, and then also took the 10, 11, 12th graders in. And what we do is those kids have separate entrances, separate lunches, and separate curriculum, but you have a small school feel in each one of those schools. Every adult gets to know every kid in a small school setting and what's unique about them. And then also, they're the ones that have to undo the 8 years of neglect that we inherit. Those kids are just pushed through the system. So we get half those kids who come in somewhere between the first and third grade reading level, and even in Locke's case, even less on reading scores. We've got to turn them around in that year. And so what happened this year at Locke was traditionally that school goes about 1,200 freshmen to about 500 sophomore. That means 700 kids leave that school before they're 15 into one of the worst gang territories. We held all across the school over 80% of the kids.
So that's your retention rate, 80%.
Yeah, which is, you know, if you look at a Tony suburban school, that matches that. So if you don't do that baseline, you have no chance of turning the school around. We made the school safe. We pushed the gangs off the campus who used to own the campus to one block off. We found out, like we have in most neighborhoods that we serve, gang members don't want their kids to be gang members, so they want the schools to work.
That's interesting. Well, Steve, let's talk. So your first metric is retention rate. You have to move on to test scores, and this is really a long game. Do you have the patience for staying in this for like 8, 10, 12 years to really move an entire generation through a school system and improve things for all time?
Oh, yeah, definitely the patience. You have to have the patience because it not only brings hope to that neighborhood, but to the rest of the city. You know, I live in Silver Lake, which is an upper middle class neighborhood outside of downtown Los Angeles. My neighbors now see hope. Boy, if you can do that at Locke, why aren't we putting demand and political pressure on Marshall High School in my neighborhood? So I think it's the political tipping point because unlike charters where you can kind of explain away results sometimes and debate back and forth whether or not they're effective, you take the biggest dropout factory in that city. As one politician called it, a tax-subsidized gang recruitment center, not a school, and you make it a preparatory, and you actually have the results that we know we're getting and going to have in the future, that should send hope.
So you literally want to get rid of this program of charter schools tinkering around the edges and cherry-picking the best students and go directly at the center of the sort of crater of underserved kids, turn that around, and let the charter school stuff sort of follow along.
Well, I don't get rid of charter schools. I mean, I'm a charter school operator. That's where the R&D has got to come. But I just, you know, and I respect people who build one charter school in a neighborhood just to serve that community. I respect people. I mean, our mission is systemic change. And, you know, I want my 4-year-old and my 1-year-old to go to a great California public school like I went to 30 years ago when we led the nation in education, not a charter school. They will go to a charter school if I have to build one for them, but I'd rather have systemic change. I'd rather most of LAUSD to look like Green Dot schools.
One involved parent, that's for sure. Finally, how do you know the Obama administration is listening to you, Steve Barr?
Well, I think they listen to a lot of people, but I haven't been this inspired about politics for a long time. I mean, I worked in a campaign for Clinton, but I don't think I ever for one second thought about moving across country to help to move to D.C. But I went and knocked on doors for this guy in Des Moines, and I don't feel like it's right for me to sit and go, God, I hope it works out for him the next 4 years. I feel like I have to do something. And so we're launching something or looking to launch something called Green Dot America, which will be a turnaround organization to hopefully become a template for other people, which includes not only the turnaround and what we've learned from Locke, but organizing parents and including them in the fight, but also partnering with teachers' unions, which is a unique aspect of Green Dot.
Well, that takes it beyond the tinkering around the edges and moves it into the radical realm that Arne Duncan is talking about. Steve Barr, thanks so much. Good luck with Green Dot America. He's the founder of the California-based Green Dot Public School Program. Steve, thanks for being with us.
Appreciate it.
There's a lot going on right now. Mounting economic inequality, threats to democracy, environmental disaster, the sour stench of chaos in the air. I'm Brooke Gladstone, host of WNYC's On the Media. Want to understand the reasons and the meanings of the narratives that led us here, and maybe how to head them off at the pass? That's On the Media's specialty. Take a listen wherever you get your podcasts.